again to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8 and verse 22. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, that is Jesus, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now the subject before us this morning is the Lord Jesus giving sight physically and spiritually. Now, the account in our text begins with this act of human kindness to a man who is in deep need. These friends of his took the blind man to the Lord Jesus. The human nature in them was moved by the conscience. It had a desire to demonstrate acts of kindness. And we see this throughout the world. We see this both in a believer and an unbeliever, these tremendous acts of kindness that people do. And kindness to our fellow human beings is an evidence that though fallen, though sinners, we are created in the image of God. And any act of kindness to one another stems from your moral conscience, motivating you to do a person good. And any act of kindness, whether that be from a believer or an unbeliever, is evidence of our Creator God, who has put within us a moral conscience. Kind action is evidence that a person is created by a good and kind God, who has given us a moral conscience. But these men here are not only acting in kindness to the blind man, they are also leading him to the right person. They have a passionate desire for him to be healed by Jesus. They besought him, and in the original that word means that they really sought sincerely with the Lord Jesus to do that person good. Now, they intercede for this blind man before the Lord Jesus, and they seek his well-being and his healing. Now this example shows to us the need not only to be kind to others, which is a common grace that God has given to all humanity, but as a believer in our kindness to lead people to Jesus. Because that is the added dimension to the kindness of a believer. A kindness of an unbeliever is very good. Oftentimes we're amazed to see how kind people are in this world in which we live. But that kindness is limited. It doesn't have the care for the soul. And so for a believer, that is that added element whereupon the kindness has within it that desire to do the person good physically and spiritually. Their concern for the person's soul. Their concern to bring them to the Lord Jesus for the healing of the soul. Now, we look here then this morning at the personal and purposeful dealings of the Lord Jesus here as he deals with this blind man. And we read something very interesting. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, previously we have noticed how the people who brought a deaf man to Jesus in a previous account, they besought that Jesus would put his hand upon him, and we noticed that in that instance it would seem that they were dictating to Jesus that he put his hand on the man, telling him exactly what to do, and so bring about a healing. And there we notice how Jesus responded in his own wise and compassionate manner, an understanding way, reaching out properly to this poor deaf man, and he took him aside from the multitude. He dealt with him personally in a way which he could relate to, it was such an example to us and how we have to be adaptable in the way we deal with people. And we have to come and sit where they're sitting and understand where they're, what they're going through, and to compassionately deal with them according to where they are in their experience of life. Well, here in this case, the blind man's friends again ask Jesus to touch him. And again, Jesus responds by leading him away. Jesus receives the man and straightway, we read, deals with him personally in his own way. And he took the blind man by the hand. Oh, he takes him by the hand and leads him from the crowd to a place outside the town. Notice that another very interesting thing we will see here. He led him out of the town. Every word of God in Scripture has a purpose, and there's something here which will help us, even spiritually, as we look at this in more detail. What an experience then for this blind man. His hand is being held personally by Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Creator of the whole earth. What a privilege. Picture in your mind, here is this poor blind man. He's at the bottom of society's level. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, takes him by the hand and he holds his hand and he leads him out of town. Oh, think about this, the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are higher than our ways and his thoughts and our thoughts. Jesus then takes this blind man. He leads him out of the way of the crowds and out of the town. He's not a publicist. He's not someone that's seeking to bring so much attention to his own miracles. Oh, but he shows this personal care for this poor man. Well, this reminds us then, as the Lord Jesus Christ holds this blind man's hand and leads him out of town, how in all our affliction he was afflicted. And here the Lord Jesus identifies himself with this man's condition. He identifies with this man's sufferings. He comes alongside this man. And this encourages us this morning, how that when we seek the Lord and we cast our burden upon the Lord, as it were, the Lord takes us by the hand. He identifies with us in our situation and he leads us through this valley that we are going through. Well, although Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cannot physically hold your hand this morning, like the blind man experienced in his day, he most certainly can in a spiritual sense. He most certainly can hold your hand this morning in a spiritual sense as the Good Shepherd. How does he do this then? How does the Lord Jesus hold your hand this morning? Well, he does through his word. In his love, he applies precious promises to your soul. And it's like him, maybe in the morning you have your devotion, or whenever you have your devotion time, and the Lord encourages you through his word, and it's just like the Lord Jesus is coming alongside you and holding you by the hand, and now come along out of town, out of all your burdens, out of all your worries and toils and concerns, and come with me for a while. And just think about this word. Just think about this text. Just meditate upon this promise that I'm giving you. And it's just like the Good Shepherd taking you by the hand. He knows your problem. He knows your situation. He knows where you are. And he comes to you just where you are. And he takes you by the hand. Well, here in this case, the Lord Jesus has taken hold of a suffering sinner who is a blind man. He's blind, but he's a sinner, just like you and me. He's a suffering sinner, a suffering blind sinner. And he takes him outside the town to do something for him. He takes him out of town to give him sight. Well, this reminds us of Calvary. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem, but he didn't suffer in Jerusalem. He went out of the city gates to Calvary, and there he suffered, bled, and died to give spiritual sight to sinners, to save sinners like me and like you. And as the Lord Jesus Christ carried his cross, and then someone had to carry it for him because he was so weak, but nevertheless the Lord Jesus Christ for a while carried that cross on his shoulders, and it was a picture for us. It was like him taking sinners by the hand and saying, I'm going to Calvary for you because of my love for you is so great. I'm going out of town. I'm going out of the crowd. I'm going out of all this religious ceremony, and I'm going to go to Calvary. I'm going to go to a place specifically to die for you, that you might be saved. Sinners who are spiritually blind and needing God to open their eyes from darkness to light. Oh, the Lord Jesus went out of the town, out of the city gates at Jerusalem, with the need of sinners on his heart to heal them. And as we see, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem and on to Calvary, suffering in Gethsemane, going on to from the Mount of Olives to Calvary, but going out of the city gates to Calvary. It's a picture for us. What the Lord Jesus Christ did to this blind man, leading him out, is a picture for us of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us spiritually. Oh, this also reminds us of something else. As Jesus took this man by the hand and personally took him out of town to be healed, so this reminds us this morning of our personal and the need of our own personal dealings with Christ. And if you or I are going to deal personally with Christ, we cannot deal with him in the world at the same time. We cannot have the world in one hand and be interested in all sorts of worldly things in one hand, and then have the Lord Jesus Christ in the other hand, and claim that we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to come out of the world. We've got to come out of the town to have fellowship with him. If we want Jesus to hold us by the hand, he will lead us out of town. If we really, by faith, want Jesus in our life, and we really want to take up our cross and follow him, the Lord Jesus will lead us out of town. By that I mean, he will lead us out of a spirit of worldliness that we might be walking in a way of godliness. So it means coming out away from all the noise and the melee of the crowd. We've got to be on our own with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to do with the world. We have to live in the world. But we don't have to be of the world. Oh, to go to him and to be with him and to follow the way of God for our salvation. Look, if we turn to the letter of the Hebrews, the letter of Paul to the Hebrews, let's just read something here for your encouragement. Hebrews chapter 13, friends, in verse 12. We have this taught for us. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Notice that, without the city gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, without the world, bearing his reproach. For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, friends, notice that. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing for the Lord Jesus this morning to take you by the hand and lead you out of the world? Are you willing to give up the world for Christ's sake? Give up all the worldly entertainments for Christ's sake? Oh, it does not mean that if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot enjoy the pleasures of that God legitimately gives us in this world. He gives us all things to enjoy profitably. But there is a walk for the Christian. When God takes us by the hand in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings us out of town. He brings us, as it were, out of the worldliness and we must follow him. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Oh, that is God's promise to his people. And we know that if we come out and are separate, God says he will be a father unto you. God will be so intimately caring for you. Oh, it says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, fear not, for the Lord your God will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Oh, how that blind man must have felt so reassured. Here was a person, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, taking him by the hand and personally dealing with him, taking him out of town to do him good. And when the Lord Jesus Christ takes you by the hand and you by faith are willing to follow him, there will be only one outcome, only one possible outcome, to do you good. Whenever the Lord Jesus takes you by the hand, only to do you good, only ever to do you good. And so we read here that he put his hands upon the blind man. He asked them if he saw anything. And then he put, later in verse 25, he put his hands upon his eyes. As Jesus had previously put his hands on the deaf man's ears to communicate to him, so here Jesus puts his hands on the blind man's eyes to communicate his purpose to him. And he held his hand to reassure him, to guide him. Now he puts his hands on his eyes to encourage him. And so the Lord encourages sinners in his gracious saving purposes towards them, in promises that touch our heart. Spiritually, he leads us by his hand. He opens our spiritually deaf ears and opens our spiritually blind eyes. And he deals with us personally. And in perfect wisdom, knowing exactly how to bring about the healing of our soul. He has the power to heal. He has the power, authority to heal. He has the all-sufficiency to heal. But we have a responsibility to come to him, just as we are in our need to be taken in hand by him. Are you willing this morning by faith to have your hand held by the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him wherever he will lead you? Wherever he will lead you. Well, we must come to him just as we are in our need, just like the blind man was taken to Jesus to be taken in hand by him, that you might be touched by him spiritually, that you might hear precious truths and see by faith the Lord Jesus for yourself. Ask the Lord then. Ask the Lord this morning to give you the desire to come, to feel your need to come, to draw you to himself. And as the Lord Jesus was ready to heal the blind man when his friends brought him to Jesus, so the Lord is ready and willing to save sinners who come to him, believing in him, trusting in him. Oh, I was thinking this Friday afternoon about Laban in the Old Testament, when he saw Abraham's servant. And he said to him, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Why are you standing outside? Why are you standing outside? There's plenty in my house for you to have. There's plenty of food. I can look after you. I can take care of you and yours. Why are you standing without? Come in. And so it is with us this morning. Maybe you're standing on the outside. Maybe you're standing on the outside. And the Lord Jesus says, come in, come in, come to me. But then there's something very interesting here in this miracle. The man said, I see men as trees walking. And on this occasion, the Lord chose to heal, as it were, in two stages, close together. There was a process here. And this reminds us, in this particular miracle, because every miracle has a lesson for us, And in this miracle, the Lord Jesus is teaching us that conversion is a process. Conversion is a process. Now, this process may be very quick, as in the typified in the experience of the blind man and the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Oh, the Apostle Paul's conversion was incredibly quick, but the process was still there. The process of conviction of sin, of looking only to the Lord Jesus Christ. But for others, this process may be a lot longer in God's sovereign wisdom. But there's a process in conversion. There's always a process in conversion. The first stage is the conviction of sin, wherein the Holy Spirit reveals to us certain truths about God. God, we start with God. God is holy. God is mighty. God is just. God knows us through and through. And God has a truth and law and a righteous way. And then the Holy Spirit in this process reveals to us something about ourselves. There is this God who is eternal and holy and just and righteous and has a holy law which we have broken. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that we are sinners, that we have broken this law, that we're not perfect before God. And in this process, we are brought to realize our utter helplessness in and of ourselves. And then we're brought to see our guilt as a sinner before God, that we need a Savior. And God in His goodness reveals to us this wonderful truth of a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And we are drawn to Him, the Savior, by the Holy Spirit, as the blind man, as the men brought the blind man to Jesus as the only one able to heal. And there at the feet of Jesus, we find a wonderful Savior. We find a Savior who is kind, who is loving, who is gracious, who is compassionate, who is wise, who is mighty, who is willing to save, this wonderful Savior. By the Holy Spirit, we're led out of the worldly thinking of the town to Christ at Calvary, the only answer to be saved. And then in repentance of our sin, we go on our knees and cry out for forgiveness, and we find healing for the soul by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a miracle that God is doing in your life. If this miracle takes a long while or a short while, it's nevertheless a miracle of God's grace. But there's a process with a certain outcome in the hands of God. And so this miracle is teaching us here that conversion is a process. The Lord Jesus Christ put His hands upon him and he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, already knew the answer to this man's question. But he asked the question to the man to give him the opportunity to tell him honestly his condition. And this man didn't say, I see things clearly, as though he was trying to deceive himself. He says to the Lord Jesus, I see men as trees walking. It's like I've got double vision. I can see something, but it's not clear. And Jesus was interested and in control of every stage of this man's restoration. Well, this reminds us that in the process of conversion, in the process of being converted, we do not see all things clearly at once. There are stages of revelation. After our eyes are opened, even spiritually, to see our need, we do not see everything clearly at first about doctrine. We do not see everything clearly about ourselves immediately. And with every Christian even, who has been converted, there is a growth from spiritual blindness to spiritual clarity. Only in heaven will we finally see things clearly. And we will see Jesus as He is. As He is. Paul said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall No, just as also I am known. There's coming a time when I will see Jesus as he is. I will see him clearly. Well, we read that the Lord Jesus made him look up. He had authority over the man. And the blind man obeyed the command of Jesus and was restored. And what Jesus required the man to do corresponds with what a Christian is required to do spiritually. We have to look up to God. We have to learn from God, learn from his word. And of course, what a seeker has to do spiritually. Oh, look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we read of the children of Israel who had sinned against God in their unbelief, and they were bitten by the serpents, and many people were dying. And God said to Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it up and lift it up on high, and whoever looks at the serpent shall live. Whoever looks shall be saved. And the Lord Jesus reminds us this is a picture of the cross. And he was raised up and lifted up on high, that whoever looks to him by faith, looking up to him, can be saved. Saved. Oh, he made him look up. Oh, Satan wants you to look down. Satan wants you to look around you. Satan wants you to look at other people. He wants you to look at all the situation around you. And he wants you to dwell on yourselves. But as the Holy Spirit convicts us about our sin, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. The Holy Spirit says, look up. Look up to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you might be restored. And this man was restored, and he saw everyone clearly. So after conversion, believers see Jesus. They see Jesus clearly in this respect. They see Jesus clearly as their Savior and their Lord. And they praise him and follow him. They see Jesus. Well, the symbolism of spiritual sight is a vital issue. It was taught to the church at Laodicea. And we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 how important this teaching is about spiritual sight. And unto the angel of the church at the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand in the door and knock. We may be in this condition spiritually this morning, lukewarm. What to do? There's a man that's standing at the door of your heart this morning, and he's knocking at the door of your heart, and that man is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him. And he with me, I will have fellowship with you again. If you will repent of your sin and you will look to me and acknowledge that you are naked and you are not what you think you are, but you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked spiritually. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. As many as I love, I chasten. And he's standing at the door. And he's knocking at the door, even this morning. And the only way to restoration, the only way to healing, is by faith to say, come in. Come in. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart. for thee. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, there's so much teaching in Scripture about spiritual sight. I just give you one there as an example of the need, even for believers who've become lukewarm. There is a way back to God, but is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look into him alone, not to yourself, not to others, only to Jesus. It's to see Jesus only. But there's coming a time in glory when we shall see Jesus as he is. And what a wonderful time that will be. What a wonderful event that will be when we will see this Jesus that we try to preach and you try to witness, and we long to see him. And Job, even in the Old Testament, had this prayer. He said, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me that I might see him, the Lord Jesus. And David said, as for me, I will see thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, when I'm in glory. That's going to be my true satisfaction, when I see Jesus as he is, in his glory and in his majesty. Oh, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, the sincere in heart, for they shall see God. We read of the God's servant Stephen, just as he was being stoned to death, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus. And that meant everything to him in his martyrdom. It meant everything to him as he was suffering there at the hands of evil men. He saw Jesus. And Jesus was everything to him. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a wonderful sight that will be. The restoration, the ultimate restoration for the believer. A sinner saved by grace, brought from darkness into light, ultimately to see Jesus as he is. And so we read, the Lord Jesus sent this blind man after he'd been healed to his house. Jesus didn't want this man to go around speaking so much about his healing, because Jesus now in his ministry wanted all the emphasis to be on Calvary. And he spoke about this later, we read, openly about Calvary and about suffering. That was the focus now. Not the focus on the miracles, but the focus on Jesus as the Savior. And so he told this man to go home. And this man had to go straight home. He needed to get used to living with the sight of his eyes. And interestingly, there's another lesson for us here this morning in this respect. The first place that this man had to witness to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who had healed him was in his home. He had to go home. The first place to live out the new Christian life is where you're living, is in your home. A walk with the Lord in private at home is far, far, far more significant for our souls than what we do for the Lord openly. No amount of service for the Lord openly is if we're not taking care of our souls, or we're not walking with the Lord in private. No amount of service for the Lord will mean anything. What we are as a Christian is not what we're like in church. That's not what we are as a Christian, really. We can put on a show in church. We can be, you know, whatever we want to be, as it were, in church. We can put on a big show. It's what we're like at home. It's what people see in our home, our neighbours, how they see us. It's what we're like at home. It's so important. For what we are as a Christian at home is what we really are. What we are a Christian, what we are as a Christian at home is what we really are. Because what we are like when we are not on show is what we really are before God. I remember a young believer once had a bit of a question about something, and it was midweek, and he didn't really want to wait till the Sunday to ask his pastor, and it was before the days of telephone and communication, and he thought, I'll go visit the pastor in his house. So he went to this house, and at the closer he got to this house, the more noise he heard. And as he walked up the garden path, he heard his pastor shouting at his wife, very angry, shouting in a very angry way. Can this be the pastor? This pastor shouting at his wife like so? And it totally destroyed this young man. It hurt this young man that he was shouting so. And the man was very sad. What we are at home is what we are. And so Jesus said to this man, go home. Go home first. And as it were, you be a Christian first at home. Learn the basics. Learn to live your life as a Christian. Well, there are many lessons in this miracle this morning. I hope some of these that I've brought before you are helpful. Every miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ has a lesson for us. And we desire in each miracle to bring something out. What is the Lord teaching us? They don't happen by chance. And they're not just for the physical good of a man or a woman or a child. They're done for a purpose that all the way through this New Testament age in which we live, we can look at them, we can learn from them, we can take encouragement from them, we can be instructed by them, and we can...